This is Politico Energy. Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Sir Manchin, how are you?
Good.
How are things going on the energy bill?
We're working on it, so I'm going to meet with Lisa right now.
Okay.
So there's a thing about covering Congress that we haven't told you. Before the pandemic and social distancing, a big part of the job involved walking up and down long hallways, chasing lawmakers to ask them about whether or not they'll support a bill.
How do things stand?
I took a red eye. What more do you want to know?
Amendment process? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm tired and cranky.
Besides that, you have to keep up with which bills are moving along the committees, whether or not they have enough support from one party or the other. And all of this action ultimately gets you here.
I have Senate coverage here on C-SPAN 2.
In front of a monitor, watching C-SPAN.
Calendar number 75, H.R. 1957, an act to amend the Internal Revenue Code of 1986.
Waiting on the final details to write up the story.
Ms. Baldwin, Mr. Barrasso, Mr. Bennett, Mrs. Blackburn.
And this final step can take a while.
Wicker, Mr. Wicker, aye. Mr. Langford, no.
And I mean a while.
Toomey and Young, Mr. Romney. Mr. Romney, aye.
Just waiting to hear from this senator or that senator. So long that you start noticing minor details like the pink post-it notes they use or thinking, wait, when did they switch the person doing roll call?
Blumenthal, Booker, Cortez Masto, Duckworth, Durbin, Harris.
Until finally.
Hang on, let me do some business.
Today.
On this vote, the yeas are 73, the nays are 25. The bill as amended is passed.
The Senate passes a major conservation package. It's Thursday, June 18th, and I'm Kelsey Tamburino.
The Great American Outdoors Act really has two big ideas at the core of it.
Anthony Adragna covers energy policy for Politico, and he's one of those reporters who would normally be roaming the halls of Congress.
The first of them is the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It takes royalties from offshore oil and gas production and then pours it into a variety of different conservation projects around the country. Congress originally authorized that program to get $900 million a year. But in practice, because you have to go through the spending cycle and actually give the money out, it's funded the program only twice at that $900 million level, and oftentimes funded it at, you know, less than half or even a third. And so what this bill does is just ensures it takes that decision out of Congress's hands, and it will get the full $900 million every year. The second part of the bill, basically our national parks and our public lands are crumbling around the country, and there's billions of backlog. And so what this does is it creates a new sort of stream of revenue that gives $1.9 billion for 5 years to help address that backlog.
So, Anthony, this is a largely bipartisan bill, but most of the opposition it has received is from Republican senators. What are their concerns with this legislation?
There's a lot of Republicans who really don't like the idea of making this funding automatic and providing full funding every year. They say that prevents them from being able to conduct oversight of the funds, how they're spent. A second is more fundamental. People like Senators Mike Lee, a lot of other Western senators feel as though the federal government owns too much land and they can't take care of the land that they have. And then you saw some coastal senators, people like Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, who said that the bill, even though it's largely funded from offshore oil and gas production, doesn't do enough to help coastal resiliency. What ultimately I think gave this package the nudge this time is the fact that the two lead sponsors of the legislation, Republican Senators Cory Gardner and Steve Daines, are up for re-election this fall, and they're looking for something they can highlight to bolster their environmental credentials in what are expected to be really competitive races.
So how helpful is this bill to Senator Daines and Gardner's environmental records?
Since both Gardner and Daines got to the Senate in 2014, they've pretty consistently opposed any sort of legislative efforts to address climate change. They've opposed regulations from the Obama administration on a host of environmental areas. And so I think certainly environmental groups think that they have very weak records when it comes to the environment. That's partially why Democratic groups out in Colorado are calling this a transparent attempt by Gardner to try to shore up his record.
Anthony, are we going to see this bill pass the House and ultimately be signed into law by the president?
There's no guarantees in Washington, but I think this bill faces a better chance of success than many others would. There are a lot of frontline Democrats who are sponsoring this legislation over there. They really want to get it done as well. Congressman Grijalva, who's the chair of the Natural Resources Committee, has said that he's optimistic that the chamber will be able to get the legislation done. Less sure about the timing. The House obviously remains focused on economic recovery from the pandemic. So I think we don't necessarily see when this is going to get done over in the House, but I'm not as concerned that it's going to hit any big stumbling blocks.
Also, two key Republican senators are opposing the president's nomination of Nancy Beck to head the Consumer Product Safety Commission. West Virginia Senator Shelley Moore Capito and Maine Senator Susan Collins said they will be voting no on Beck's nomination, partly because of her record on toxic substances, including PFAS, the cancer-causing chemicals commonly found in drinking water. As chair of the commission, Beck would be in charge of an agency that is supposed to protect consumers from toxic chemicals in many products, including baby toys. And according to Senator Capito, Nancy Beck's record during her time at the American Chemistry Council and in EPA's chemical office has led her to believe she's not the right person for the agency. The defections leave Democrats two votes away from derailing Beck's nomination and increases the pressure on other Republicans with high-profile chemical contamination in their states. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Support for the Politico Energy podcast comes from Chevron, partnering with California Bioenergy to transform farm waste into renewable natural gas and providing an alternative source of power for a cleaner way forward. For more information, visit chevron.com.